Hi, everyone, and welcome into a long overdue off-season podcast here on Scrambled Eggs, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast. Here on Crack Sidewalks, Joe McCann and Phil Bush. Phil, we've been waiting for a while to kind of get this thing together, but now that we have some news to talk about, I'm actually excited for the show today.
Yeah, I spent the last 2 weeks just waiting to get to the 16th so we can spend some time talking about some stuff.
I think we maybe ruffled some feathers of Scott, the associate AD for communications at Marquette. Didn't appreciate my smart-ass comment about doing like a 2-minute podcast every day for 3 weeks.
I don't understand, A, why he could complain about that, and B, does he not realize that Twitter is essentially 97% snark and 7% bad facts?
I didn't mean to necessarily offend, but it was a smart-ass comment. I will. But come on. I mean, Scott actually offered to come on to the show. I don't know if he meant that seriously or not, but we are not technologically advanced enough to do phone calls yet, although we may get there later this year. Spoiler, we may be able to figure that out. But right now we can't do phone calls, so sorry if we upset anyone with my smart-ass comments.
I take nothing back. I regret nothing.
Yeah, I'll just say, it seems like a lot of the announcements doing it day by day like they did, you know, like 3 of the first 4 announcements are we're playing someone, right?
Right.
Like, we'll figure it out when the 2K Classic announces, but that's today's announcement. We're playing in this tournament. And the other half were things we already knew. Like, we knew when the Wisconsin game was. We knew we're playing Georgia. Maybe we didn't know the specific date and time. We knew we were playing Fresno State. So I just thought it was a little dragged out a little bit. But
well,
the schedule is out.
Right. Well, and it was counterproductive in terms of creating buzz, right? Nobody really talked about the schedule in terms of creating the buzz. It was more about talking about the buzz creation.
See, that's my thing. Like, say if you are a local beat writer, like say Matt Velasquez, like Matt didn't do a write-up every day on, say, oh, today they announced that they would play one of these 4 schools. You know, he's not going to do that. And local TV reporters are not going to carve out 20 seconds in their newscast to say, today Marquette announced that they're playing Western Carolina. And, you know, they're not going to carve out 20 seconds for that. But if you announce the whole schedule, like, that's something that a beat writer would take time to, like, do a full write-up on. And if you announce the whole schedule, that's something, like, being in, you know, television, working in newsrooms, I would say, hey, you know, Marquette, like when I was working in Tulsa, hey, Oral Roberts announced their schedule today. Why don't we do 15 seconds on that? Okay, let's do it. Let's put it in. Put a little graphic in. And then it's worth covering.
Not to mention, you can time the drop for a slow news day or, you know.
Like the day after the All-Star game.
Exactly.
Which is the slowest news day of the entire calendar.
Exactly.
And I understand, like, half the, like, stuff was embargoed or whatever because of the 2K Classic. But still, once that was good to go, why not? I mean, like, that Wednesday and Thursday, that's just brutal television. I mean, there's nothing going on that night. I was binging the heck out of Peaky Blinders to get through the week.
Wow. Deep pull.
I know. That was a good one. You seen Peaky Blinders?
No, I have not seen Peaky. Hey, listen, I'm still working on Breaking Bad.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah, you're catching up on Breaking Bad. No spoilers for Phil, please. He's finally jumping on that. Peaky Blinders is not a bad show, but I'm getting way off topic. How about we talk about the schedule?
Okay, fine.
All right, so the schedule is officially out. And again, a lot of the games we knew, and the overwhelming thing that everyone took away, first of all, is certainly not as bad as last year's schedule. And we beat that to death last year, but it deserved to be beaten to death because it was not a great schedule, and we've gone over all the reasons why it wasn't.
It was a terrible schedule.
It was some reasons out of Marquette's control, coaching change, whatnot, some things they were hanging on to from previous years, and some teams just did not want to play a 13-win team from a year before. Overall strength of schedule looks to be much, much better. You can go on Marquette's website and see the whole schedule if you want to go game by game. But overall, the big thing that jumps out to me, Phil, looks like they're going to have a really tough stretch the first week of December at Georgia. Fresno State, which is not your average bye game by any means. I mean, I would say that is, like, competition-wise on level of Belmont last year, right? You know, I mean, that's a tournament team from a year ago. I mean, that's a tough – I don't know if you consider that a bye game, but for this, our purposes, we'll say it's a bye game. And then Wisconsin later that week. Fresno State is either going to be the 6th or the 7th, depending on when the Bucks have the arena, and then Marquette would have it the opposite day. But, again, you're having Georgia, Fresno State, and Wisconsin – in a span of 7 days. So, I mean, that's a pretty tough stretch. So that would be a stretch where I would be a little concerned that Marquette could trip up, especially if they get tripped up against Fresno State, because, you know, coming off a road trip to Athens and then coming home while you're definitely going to be looking ahead to Wisconsin. That's the one part of the schedule that kind of really jumped out to me.
Yeah, well, and not to mention you've got three games all before the week of finals. So that's just it's a weird scheduling kind of mishmash. You wouldn't have expected that, but I think one of the reasons for that is this is an artifact of the Big East pushing the conference start up to December 28th to avoid all the bowl game stuff around New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, and the college football playoffs, because basically they're done with the schedule. They're done playing non-conference basketball the 21st of December, which I think is by far the earliest I remember. There was usually a non-conference game between Christmas and New Year's, and this is the first time in a long time I can't remember that. So it kind of forced Marquette to jam some games together there, which is a good challenge. I mean, that's probably representative of what they're going to experience in the Big East, right? So, I mean, it's a good experience to get them ready for Big East play.
Yeah, I think it's a very solid schedule. I really honestly have no complaints about it at all. I don't want them to play a Kansas Michigan State type schedule where they're getting beat up every week. I mean, they're not ready for something like that. But they have some very good opponents. I mean, starting on a neutral site against Vanderbilt, who has a new coach. That'll certainly be a challenge.
And the deck of the ship will not be.
They're not playing on a ship, right?
Right.
They're just playing in Annapolis. Yeah, I think that there's a chance that maybe, unless somebody schedules their game earlier, that may be the first college basketball game in the nation this season.
Yeah, and it's awesome. You know, it's awesome that it's like the Veterans Affiliation and stuff. Like, so it's the best of the Carrier Classic without, you know, having it scratched due to weather.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's no danger of that happening. And then, yeah, there are a couple opponents that are underwhelming, of course, but, you know, you got Howard that's part of the 2K Classic, Western Baptist, Western Carolina, but, you know, you need a few of those games, right? I mean, you got to have at least a few wins to get under your belt. But another game that, you know, in case people didn't know, the last bye game of the season against SIU Edwardsville, they are coached by former Marquette player John Harris, and I think that's cool that you have like one bye game like that every year where there's a tie that would get fans at least a little bit excited about the game to see a former Marquette player come back to the Bradley Center. Of course, for those of you who don't remember John Harris, I would hope most people do. But
he's been a podcast favorite. I've mentioned him multiple times.
Yeah, I actually ran into him this summer. Have I told this story on the podcast?
No, I don't
before?
Think you have.
I was at an AAU tournament here in Dallas, and, you know, of course, like many other coaches, he was there, and I walked by him, and, like, he recognized, like, he didn't know my name, but, like, he recognized me, like, he's definitely seen me around before, like, he recognized me from when I was on campus when he was, and I just said hi to him for a minute, and he goes, "Hey, man, how you doing?" I just congratulated him on being a head coach, and he said, "Thank you very much, and, you know, we're just trying to build something, and we're excited about it," and so, yeah, I talked to him for a little bit, and so he's doing well, and this will be his second year at Edwardsville, and happy that he got a head coaching job, because he'd been an assistant for a few years at Tennessee and I think a couple other places. But I think it's cool that he's going to come back, and maybe they'll get to do something with him for the 100th anniversary. They haven't announced any big events, but I'm sure there are some coming.
There have to be, right?
Yeah, I mean, there'll be plenty, I'm sure, but they just haven't announced anything yet. But John Harris was on he graduated in 2002, so he was on kind of the team that got Marquette back to the tournament in Crean's third year. They had been down a few years before that.
For anyone that listens to Steve the Homer True, I think John Harris was the first player that he originated the term the sheriff for, because he was the guy that did all the work down low in terms of boxing out, getting rebounds, and just muscling people around.
Yeah, honestly, the John Harris game I remember the best. It was a bummer because we lost it. He played a great game in that tournament loss to Tulsa. Like, he played really well. I mean, like I said, it totally forgotten because it sucked that Marquette lost that game. But, it wasn't on him. He played a great game. I don't remember his stat line at all. I just remember he was getting rebounds and getting putbacks all game that game. And he was, like, undersized. Like, he was like a 6'6", 6'7", center, you know. But he did the best he could. And I really like John Harris, and I was happy that he got a head coaching job. But he'll be back at the Bradley Center, so that'll be the last bye game of the year. But overall, we should see a nice boost in Marquette's RPI. And hopefully this will be an adequate challenge for them as they get ready to go into Big East play. As, you know, we'll see where people start picking them, but I don't expect people to pick Marquette to finish much higher than they did last year.
Yeah, well, a couple of last things to kind of mention about the schedule here. I mean, basically, like you said, it's much better than last year. And essentially what we've done is last year we had four 300-plus RPI teams. And obviously we don't know what the RPIs of the various teams we're playing this year are yet because they haven't played the games. But on paper, it essentially looks like we traded two of those 300-plus teams for two teams that are going to be in the top 100, which, you know, is a significant change and a significant swing and a very positive thing, I think, in my book. You know, and the other thing that people need to keep in mind is with these teams, you might look at somebody like Houston Baptist or St. Francis or somebody like that and say, who the heck are these people and what does it matter? But, you know, the RPI for these teams, what we need is teams that will win basketball games. So either they need to be in weak, you know, strong teams and weak conferences or teams that can go out and get wins. That's what's going to impact our RPI more than the name or anything like that. So I think they've done a good job of mixing up you know, experience and wins to pad the cushion, things like that. So I have to give kudos to the athletic department this season. As much as I hated last year's schedule, I think this year's is the complete opposite.
Yeah, it's always good when you get Wisconsin in the Bradley Center. So that, I mean, obviously that'll be a sellout crowd. One true road game, yeah, that's fine. You know, it's not like that's unusual for most teams. But they have three neutral site games, including the opener against Vanderbilt. And then they'll play Michigan, and then in the 2K Classic, we know that now. That'll be their first game, and then their next opponent will depend. It'll be either Pitt or SMU. I'd personally rather play Pitt.
Well, yes.
We had some bitter games with Pitt. It was a very short-lived thing, but it seems like it was like a two- or three-year stretch where Marquette and Pitt were routinely in some very tight contest that got a little chippy towards the end.
Well, and hopefully we can bring back Sad Pit Bear.
I would love to see Sad Pit Bear again.
Oh, I miss him.
I hope he is in New York that week. All right, so we've looked at the schedule, and you know, again, you can take a look at it. We'll learn the Big East slate, I guess, a little later this summer, but we know who the opponents are there. But overall, I think you have to be happy with the schedule. Hope they can pack the Bradley Center, and I would anticipate a lot of cool events throughout November and December celebrating Marquette's 100 years. I am fingers crossed for throwback jerseys at some point.
Oh, you know, God, please.
I really want to see them bring out some throwback jerseys. I don't think they would beat it to death and do it every week, but just a couple games. You want to liven up, say, like the Houston Baptist game? Yeah, like bring out some 77-style throwbacks for that game.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, people would...
Those tickets would go, right? Like, if you advertised it, you could get a sellout just by a jersey giveaway.
Yeah, and, like, you know, that game would get, like, on highlights just for, you know, people would want to say, check out what Marquette wore tonight. You know, the score was 150-0, but look at the uniforms. How sweet is that? You know, it'd be like, like Oregon football. I mean, it's kind of gotten beaten to death because everyone in football has different uniforms every week, but there was a while there, it was like, all right, let's see what Oregon wear tonight. Yeah, so maybe we can be like that and just have maybe not like that, but it'd be an exciting thing. Like, what kind of throwback jersey is Marquette wearing week in and week out? I think that'd be a cool wrinkle to throw. And I don't know what the jersey budget is with Jordan Brand, but let's blow it out. I mean, let's...
Well, you would think the Jordan Brand would be all over it. I mean, I think they're looking for attention.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so we'll see what they do. I know Marquette has some stuff planned because you see them on Twitter constantly reaching out to former players and saying, you know, give us your contact info. We want to get you involved in the 100th anniversary celebration. So
well, and
there's a lot of good stuff coming.
Yeah, and we didn't really talk about it, but they did have the barbecue that was formerly known as Buzz's Barbecue a couple of weeks ago. Well, I guess it was almost a month ago now, and there was a bunch more players than I've ever seen at one of those events back. And what was interesting, the other thing that was interesting is, you know, like I said, it was previously Buzz's Barbecue and it was very basketball centric, but they seem to be morphing it to much more about Marquette sports generally, because they had the volleyball teams and the soccer teams and, you know, and the track teams and all those groups involved. And like I said, they had a ton of basketball players back. So, you know, I think this is a case of they're building, trying to build the hype machine for this season, because it is going to be such a golden opportunity to, pardon the pun, to that was terrible.
That was. As long as you didn't say a gold opportunity.
That's true. What?
Hey, let's move forward to some other topics. Just a few quick hitters before we get out of here, though. Not much recruiting news, but there has been one commit since we last recorded a podcast, or at least I'll bring it up. I had to look up his name to make sure I said it correctly, but I do believe it is pronounced Ike, E-K. He is a 6'9 power forward. He's kind of a skinny guy, about 6'9, 215, but out of a UD Jesuit in Detroit. That's what the D stands, University of Detroit Jesuit High School in Detroit. Looks like a bit, you know, not a necessarily super highly rated recruit, about a 3 or 4 star kid, but looks like very athletic. But the biggest thing is that 6'9" part, right? I mean, Marquette desperately needs size. They have 4 scholarships to play with for 2017 as it stands now. They do have 1 scholarship that they could use for this coming season. At this point, it does not appear that they're going to use it, which is fine, honestly. So it was nice to at least see 1 big man on board, and we'll see how many they add. Assuming they still have 3 more to play with, I would be surprised if they didn't add at least 1 more big, maybe 2.
Yeah, absolutely. I would suspect that they'll probably, because they're pretty loaded at guard, I suspect they'll probably load at least 1 more big. If there's a very good wing out there, maybe they'll add a wing, and then they'll probably add a guard. But I think you can count on at least 2 bigs, and if not 3, in the form of maybe like a 6'7", 6'8" wing player.
Yeah, they actually do have quite a few offers out to a handful of guys that look like they're like taller wing players. Like Kamani Lawrence is a 6'7 kid from New Hampshire. Jordan Nwara is a 6'8 kid from Vermont. Theo Johns, I hear his name a lot. He's a 6'8 kid from Minnesota. Donnie Tillman is a 6'7 kid. He's from Nevada. Finley Prep, by the way. Speaking of Finley Prep, did you see Marcus Howard or read any about of the great work he did with the USA U17 team?
Yeah, he was killing it. Was lighting up the 3-point range.
He played very well.
Much need.
Yeah, that is a big need. I would love for, because you know, he's playing kind of with guys that are mostly going to be seniors in high school next year. He even tweeted that he was kind of working on some of the guys on the team to get him to consider Marquette. I don't know if he'll actually bring any of them with him, but I know he's trying, which we definitely appreciate. But even if he doesn't bring anybody from the U17 team, at least he's bringing himself, which is the big thing. I think even though Marquette is loaded at guard, if he can shoot the ball as well as he did with the USA team, he's going to see the floor, and I think he'll see the floor a lot this year.
Yeah, I certainly in the USA team, he was lights out, and that level of competition, he was clearly one of the best, if not the best player on the court. Having said that, I am hesitant simply because past experience in being super hyped and excited for players has burned me. I think he'll see the court, and I think by the end of the season it would be impossible to keep him, you know, on the bench much at all. But I think at the end of the day he's going to be a freshman no matter how talented, and yeah. Turnovers and mental mistakes come with that territory, and that's something, as we saw all last year, we will lament it about it continuously, the turnovers and mental mistakes that a young Marquette team made, that's just not going to be survivable this season. Sure. So it'll all depend on how well he adapts to the speed and the complexity of the game at the college level as opposed to the high school level.
Yeah, I have, I guess I would call it tempered high hopes for him. I think he's going to be a very, very good player. I'm not expecting, you know, like John Wall out of the gate, but I think he's going to be very, very good at Marquette.
I agree. I actually think, I think I tweeted this, I believe that there is a player on the roster right now that will break Jarrell McNeil's scoring record, you know, a career scoring record. There's a couple of candidates, and I think Howard would be one of those potential candidates. I think he will be that good. I just don't know if he'll be ready to be that good as a freshman.
Right. Yeah, and we'll see how he does. But so he's the big recruit coming in next year with Sam Hauser. Speaking of recruits, by the way, looks like the competition for Joey Hauser is really heating up. Now he's a 2018 kid, but big power forward, going to be like possibly an All-American. I mean, Michigan State and Duke and all these teams are starting to take a look at him. Michigan State offered him. So the competition is going to be fierce for Joey Hauser. So we'll keep an eye on that one. Well,
we have a history of landing brothers and it totally working out without any drama, right?
Hey, they both played. That's all I cared. Oh, by the way, one other name before we get off the recruiting topic that to keep an eye on with Marquette. They have offered an Australian kid named Jacob Epperson, 6'11 center. I think he's still going to play his senior year of high school in Australia, but this is a name who's a little bit obscure on the recruiting trail, but I did see people tweeting about him a lot over the last couple weeks about some of the AAU tournaments and things that have been going on in July. July is a big recruiting month. AAU, there are a lot of tournaments and showcases and everything. I think Epperson, I mean, there's a lot of competition for him, like Texas and I'm trying to think. There were a bunch of other schools that were in on him, but Marquette is after him too. So I mean, they are certainly not done in the 2017 class, especially when it comes to bigs. So expect pretty much everyone Marquette goes after, unless they find somebody really special at the guard spot. I would expect almost everyone Marquette goes after in the 2017 class to be about 6'5" or taller.
Yeah. Well, and it is an interesting, I mean, we talked about it in past podcasts, but there is a volume of offers going out that we have not seen in the Wojo administration previously.
Look, we didn't see that much early on. Maybe it just wasn't reported as much early, but it seems like there are we're seeing a lot of people tweet about it more now, but it seems like they do have a lot of guys that they're chasing, and that's good. That's fine. There's no right or wrong way to do it as long as you get the kids you want, and we'll see which guys Wojo zeroes in on over the next few months here as we get closer to the early signing period. Still got a ways to go for that. Hey, the other big thing going on this summer, and I'm so glad it worked out this weekend so we could actually talk about it a little more, and that is the tournament. The basketball tournament. If you're not following this thing, what are you doing with your lives this summer?
Yeah, are you a Marquette fan even a little bit?
All right, if you're not familiar with this thing, it is so cool because it's just, I guess you could call it a pro-am basketball tournament.
It's essentially a mercenary pickup game.
Yeah, and it has just grown so popular over the years. I think we talked about it on the previous podcast a little as they were forming a team. But, of course, Marquette is in the tournament. They won their first two games. It was a thrilling game on Saturday night as they trailed the Hoopville Warriors, which were mostly made out of Chicago kids. They trailed them by as much as like 15 in the second half, and I was like, man, this is a bummer. I wanted to see this team play a few games. And then they stormed all the way back, won just right at the buzzer when Bikes hit some free throws, and then they just blew out a team of Michigan State alumni on Sunday.
Including Corey Lucius.
Yeah, that Michigan State team, I think they were pretty shorthanded. What happens in this tournament often is some of the better players have deals with agents and tryouts with other pro teams, and they can't play because either their contract forbids them or their agent says, look, I can get you a pro contract or a tryout right now, and don't screw this up, so you better get to this tryout. Marquette had that problem with Devontae Gardner. Gardner couldn't play this week because he had a tryout in Las Vegas that he just couldn't pass up, which is, of course, you can't blame guys for doing this, by the way. I mean, they're certainly not obligated to compete in this tournament for which they're really not getting paid at all unless they win the thing, you know. So I hope that works out for Devontae, but it does sound like he is going to play next week in Philadelphia in the Sweet 16 and the Super 16 or quarter, whatever they're calling it, and then the quarterfinals, which are next week in Philadelphia. So, hey, I don't know about you, Phil. I enjoyed the hell out of watching this thing. Because, first of all, it's just the nostalgia of seeing guys like Jarrell McNeil and Darius Johnson Odom and Dwight Bikes and Joe Chapman, who played so well.
Joe Chapman sighting.
God, he played great, didn't he?
Like, yeah, he did.
So like, well.
There was a couple of players, both in their professional careers and in this tournament, Dwight Burke and Joe Chapman especially, where you go, why didn't we have that when you were at Marquette?
Joe Chapman has turned into a really good pro. I think he's been playing. I know he was the MVP of the league he played in England a few years ago. I'm not sure where he's been playing lately, but I mean, he's still playing pro ball. He's in his early 30s, so we'll see how much longer he plays. But boy, he played well. He shot the ball incredibly well. I mean, the whole team shot the ball well on Sunday. Bike shot the ball pretty well.
Jamil Wilson was like five for five from three.
Jamil played. You texted me earlier, Phil. He played that whole game like he did the last 2 minutes of the Butler game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, or the Davidson game.
Davidson. That's right, not Butler. Davidson game. But yeah, Jamil played great. And you know, that was another situation that he was at the Vegas Summer League with the Lakers. And, you know, he was not going to leave them, of course, until their summer league was over, because obviously Jamil, like a lot of these guys, you know, wants to make an NBA team. And he was very close last year. He was in the D League. And so they finished up late Friday night, so he couldn't get out to Chicago the next night, at least not in time, because he'd be exhausted. And basically he had to catch a flight in the morning and get out to Chicago. So he wasn't able to play on Saturday, but he was, you know, good to go on Sunday. Boy, he played great. I'm really enjoyed watching it. I love watching it. It's a great thing to watch in the middle of the summer when there's really nothing to do. I love baseball as much as anybody else, but yeah, I need a little more variety to watch. And so this tournament is really, really fun. And having Wesley Matthews.
Yes, I was just going to comment on this.
How
that was awesome.
Yeah, he was laying into those refs, by the way. And, you know, I didn't necessarily expect a high level of officiating in this thing, because I don't know even where they find referees who are willing to do this. But laying into the refs was hilarious. But I'm just hearing him coach, because, like, Wes even said after the game, I've never coached before. This whole thing was new to me. And so basically coaching like he would as if he were a player, right? It's almost like just communicating with them, not so much as a coach, but like the way he would communicate with his guys with the Mavericks and just communicating with them that way, maybe drawing up a quick play. And it was funny, like he'd drawn up a play. It's like he's drawn up, all right, DJO. Oh, wait, DJ's not in. Okay, Bikes then. And like the way he'd drawn up. He did a great job. I think the team really gelled.
He even got Derek Wilson to hit a three from the corner.
Oh, man, he's doing great. And now he gets Devontae Gardner. Yeah, and the thing is, now keep this in mind, though, we could have guys taken away from us between now and next week because of what I mentioned earlier. Agents could get involved, NBA, if an NBA team calls Dwight Bikes and says, you know, we want to offer you a contract, but you can't play this week, you know, he has to do that, right? I mean, he can't pass on that and say, sorry, I got to play with my guys, and you can't fault him for that. So, selfishly, I hope we get these guys for two more weeks, and then they can all get their pro contracts and go off and do whatever they do. But, hey, if this thing turns into a pro contract for any of these guys and they have an opportunity like that, good luck, no hard feelings. But I hope we can get a full team there in Philadelphia next week, because I think Marquette, there are not too many teams better than Marquette in this thing, because they have a really good roster. They're one of the youngest teams in the tournament, which is a good thing, because normally we say one of the youngest teams, oh, well, that's a bad thing. But in this situation, being one of the youngest teams in the tournament is a very good thing, because, you know, you're playing against some guys that may be in their mid to late 30s. There are even some 40-year-olds playing in this thing. You're going to be able to outlast those guys.
Yeah, so there's a lot of Joe Chapman's. Not to pick on Joe
Chapman's a spring chicken compared to Mike Bibby and Jason Williams.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Yeah, I caught some of those guys playing. They still got it a little bit. I mean, even at, what, 38, 39, however old they are, I mean, they're still former pros. And that's a team who, if Marquette wins their next game, they would play that team. They're called, what are they called, Pedro's Posse? I don't know where that came from, but that is what that Sacramento team or whatever it's called is. That's their name.
You know, so it's crazy that it's a bunch of NBA players that made millions of dollars and they're now gunning for $2 more million. It's just kind of crazy.
Yeah, but hey, I guess, you know, even if you've made, you know, $20 million in your career, if you can make another 200 grand in the drop of a bucket by just beating up on some kids you're way better than, all right.
Yeah, sure, that's true. I could out-spreadsheet younger people for $2 million, I would totally do it. Yeah.
I love how the tournament's Twitter handle tweets things like, hey, which ringer should join the tournament next week? Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, or some other guy who's retiring? Dude, those guys are not going to play in the tournament.
Oh, God.
Come on.
Tim Duncan did not retire so he could play in some some tournament that was webcasting via Facebook.
I know some team, I don't know how exactly, but I think if you had a certain number of votes, you can add a quote-unquote ringer, so you can add one guy to your roster next week. I don't think Marquette can add anyone to the roster if, say, I think the plan was if they were going to be allowed to somebody, allowed to add someone that Matt Carlino, who I think was practicing with the team, was going to join. But I don't think they had enough votes, so I don't think they can add anyone between now and next week. So they just have to hope they can get at least, you know, 8-9 guys in Philadelphia next week and have a full roster. Hopefully they have a full 11. The one guy who didn't show up, and I'm not sure why, was Trent Lockett. He was on the roster, but he definitely didn't play. He wasn't suited up, so I don't know what his – maybe he got some kind of contract
maybe he was
situation.
Working on a contract.
I hope that's why he missed.
Yeah, maybe he's working out for the Bulls.
Yeah,
going to Marquette South.
Yeah, that's the last thing I actually wanted to touch on, but before I get to that. But anyway, I just want to say thanks to all the Marquette alums who are playing in that thing, because I am really enjoying it. Obviously, selfishly, I want them to win the whole thing, because I would like to get some of the cash too. But
yeah, that's right.
But I just love that they're doing it, because, you know, again, they're pretty much playing for nothing unless they win the whole thing. I don't know if they get a little something for travel and meals or whatever, but, I mean, they're doing it because it's fun, and I am enjoying the hell out of watching it. I hope I get to watch 4 more games, and we'll see how they do next week.
Well, and they're going to be on – all the rest of the games are either going to be on ESPN3, which is the web app, ESPN2, or ESPN. So the production quality should go up significantly,
yeah,
and you'll be able to watch it pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, so I'm really thrilled to watch it. So keep watching that thing. If you haven't been watching it, you are totally missing out. Turn on, you know, again, follow the tournament. Follow Golden Eagles alumni on Twitter. It's a blast to follow. The guys are busting their butts out there, and it's just fun, just the nostalgia. And, hey, the jerseys are sweet, too. Like, the do you notice that? Especially the ones they wore on Saturday, the white ones that had the arrowhead piping.
And they were untucked.
Yeah, oh, that was fantastic. I hope we get to see the white ones again. I think they're playing the 7 seed, so I think they will wear the white ones again on Saturdays because they'll be the lower seed. Because the 7 seed beat the 2 seed in that bracket. So go Golden Eagles alumni. Looking forward to that one in a few more games. I guess we'll wrap up with this. You did allude to it there a second ago, Phil. You know, Marquette alums in the NBA. Of course, the big news over the last couple weeks, Dwayne Wade is no longer with the Miami Heat, which is weird to say. He's going to be in Chicago now. That was kind of a crazy thing to see happen. And I'm not sure exactly how he and Jimmy Butler and Rajon Rondo are going to, say, gel as a backcourt, but I'm excited to see two Marquette players on the same NBA team. I think that's awesome.
I think it's awesome. I'm relatively agnostic when it comes to NBA teams. I pretty much cheer for whatever teams have Marquette players on them.
Same here, yeah.
But it would be interesting if the Bulls can be any good, that would be a tremendous, because you know that's going to get mentioned all the time. If the Bulls are good, talking about Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler both being from Marquette, and that'll lead to discussions around, you know, how Marquette has put a lot of good players into the NBA and that sort of stuff. So it's great advertisement. So it'd be huge for Marquette for the Bulls to play well. I just don't see how a team with a backcourt that averages like 30% three-point shooting in the air of space and pace to be successful. But we'll see. It'll be exciting. You know, Wade's coming home.
Yeah, another big Marquette transfer for Fred Hoiberg.
Yeah. Good Lord. There's just something. Iowa State and or Fred Hoiberg just have this gravitational
pull.
As
of now, I think we officially have 5 Marquette players in the NBA. I don't think Steve Novak's contract, I think, was up with the Bucks. I don't know what his future plans
are. I believe
are.
He's going to re-sign. But
I hope
but
he is back
official.
With the Bucks for at least one more year. And I think that would be great for Marquette fans in Milwaukee. So if he does stay in the league for one more year, that would be 6. With, of course, you know, Wade Butler, Jay Crowder, Wesley Matthews, and then Novak, and then Henry Ellenson. By the way, we got to get with that play-by-play guy on the tournament. He said multiple times, I wanted to make sure I wasn't misunderstanding him, but he did say Darius Johnson Odom was the last Marquette player drafted.
Incorrect. He's not current. I mean,
he had to do a lot of research in his defense on guys who have, you know, been playing all over the globe. But I just, you know, maybe we can get that straight for next week. It's not as egregious as Chuck and Kenny mispronouncing Archidiakono over and over again during the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, but you can't exactly be shocked that Chuck mispronounced something.
Oh, God. But, again, but speaking of Marquette players in the NBA, like I mentioned, Jamil Wilson has been working out with the Lakers. He played with the Lakers in their summer league team. Vander Blue. The big reason he's not with the tournament team is because I honestly think he is very, very close to an NBA deal.
I think he's going to get one.
I just got a gut feeling he's going to land with somebody. He had a good two summer league sessions with the Mavericks. I don't know if they're going to keep him or invite him to camp, but I just got a really good feeling about Vander Blue at least being in an NBA camp. And, you know, probably going all the way down to the wire to the last cut and see if he's going to be the 15th guy. I hope he is. I think he's close enough. I think he had a good enough season in the D-League last year to get it. And who knows, maybe one of these guys playing for the Golden Eagles alumni could play their way onto a tournament. Obviously, Bikes has had a cup of coffee in the league. So is Jarrell McNeil. And then, you know, Jamil Wilson's close, too. I think the other guys are probably all going overseas or whatever they're going to do next. But yeah, so hopefully maybe we can get 7 or 8 guys in the league next year. I think I'd love to see it.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And it definitely would bring their name up and then reoccurring. It doesn't hurt recruiting when you got a bunch of players in the NBA that are willing to talk up your school.
Yeah, that certainly never hurts. I think not like he's going to make road trips all the time, but knowing that Dwayne Wade is only an hour and a half away in Chicago, yeah, maybe we see him in a few games this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Plus, it is the 100th anniversary. They're definitely going to have a night for Wade. You know they're going to.
Oh, 100%.
I don't know. I haven't looked at the Bucks schedule, or I don't know if it's even been released yet. But hopefully there is a night between November and February when the Bulls are in Milwaukee and they can, you know, do a big thing with Wade.
Well, when the Clippers are in town, they'll do something with Doc and they'll bring George Thompson back. And it'll be exciting.
So looking forward to all that. I think it's been a pretty fun off-season podcast. Again, thanks to the tournament team for giving me more to talk about in an off-season podcast.
Yeah, we might have been done 6 minutes. We still would have released in 2-minute segments, but we would have been done after 16 minutes.
Again, sorry if we ruffled any feathers, but we're going to move on.
Sorry, not sorry.
But again, hey, who knows? We may have to do another podcast in a couple weeks here if they keep winning, and we'll have to just keep talking about this tournament thing because it's such a blast. But again, be sure to follow that. It's going to be on ESPN. Speaking of following things, you can follow us online. Follow the Crack Sidewalks as the team handle. I am Joe McCann 3. Phil is M-O-O-F-23. You can like us on Facebook. There's a Scrambled Eggs Facebook page. We post the podcast there. And, of course, cracksidewalks.com. Phil will post a link there so you can download it there. And, of course, we're on iTunes. You can download us anywhere we go. Hey, Phil, let's go Golden Eagles alumni, eh?
Well, yeah, we need to come up with a better nickname, but go Golden Eagles alumni.
Yeah, I guess maybe Warriors would have been frowned upon since the athletic department kind of put the team together.
Yeah, I think there was
request would be next time, let's make sure the logo is actually a Golden Eagle and not a bald eagle if we're going to be nitpicking.
Details. It's an eagle.
It's an eagle, whatever. Hey, thanks for listening. Seashells and balloons, everybody.